Side number two, this is Madeline Davis recording DJ, January 6th, 1980. We'll cover some more on the same topic. So you found out then, to your own satisfaction, like scientifically, mm-hmm. that you were gay,
right,
at age 21 or 2. But mm-hmm. at what age did you realize, you know, personally that you were?
Personally, way back in school, in grammar school. Where girls look prettier than boys.
Isn't it amazing? do you remember how old you were when that notion first came to you?
Well, grammar school, fourth, fifth grade, mm-hmm. in that area.
Around 10 years old or so?
Around
that. Mm-hmm. Did you think you were different from other kids?
Well, I knew something was wrong.
Did you know any other kids, any other girls that felt that way too?
No, because, I mean, there was really no contact, because I, truthfully, at that age, you don't know. I mean, now they do, but then you really didn't know what the word gay was or lesbian or anything else mm-hmm. at that age.
Right.
It was just a feeling that would... come over you, that's all.
Uh-huh.
But no worries of any pinpointing anybody at that state.
But you did feel that there was something mm-hmm. about your feelings that were different from the other kids.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Did you talk to anybody about your feelings?
No, I would have been killed. No, those were... hidden thoughts and emotions for a good many years
mm-hmm.
until I left home when I was 16.
And then
I went on my own and I found out a lot of things.
Why did you leave home?
Well, domestic problems and I couldn't stand the stepmother, that kind of thing.
How long had she lived with you before you left?
Let's see now, I can remember, about 4 or 5 years, because we were baptized Catholic, almost after they were married. So that's, had to be about 4 or 5, something like that.
Uh-huh. I'm going to turn this off now and see if we're getting it this time. Good, we're getting it fine. You said that you had been away from home at a younger age than that, and had come to Buffalo.
No. I left home at 16. I got in a little problem, and I was in the Good Shepherd's for a year. I turned 18 in there.
I see.
Well, that was back in 45. I was back into Buffalo after they sent me home. Then I went back again after getting into more problems.
What were the problems that got you there? You know what I'm talking about.
Well, anyhow.
All right. Well, I mean,
so
like
back,
they were they like legal problems, like stealing and that kind of thing, or were they problems that involved girls?
Girls and uh-huh. mothers and all that kind of stuff. You know, and I ended up legally, and then that's when I got kicked out of Buffalo.
Yeah, right.
So then, with the woman I was telling you about with my sister,
mm-hmm.
I met her in 47, and she helped me then, and this is when I... went to the doctors to find out whether I was or I wasn't, then I found out I was, and here I am,
uh-huh.
53 years later.
Well, congratulations, you survived.
You better believe it.
That's a tough road, I tell you.
It is.
When did you have your first experience with a woman?
The first one, it goes way back, and well, we'll say the main, the really right down to the nitty gritty, was I was in the Good Shepherds, and I had the whole dormitory all by myself.
Did you?
There was no one else in there but me and all the girls. I mean, they were lesbians, homosexuals. I was the only one. They thought I was a man when I walked in the place.
So and you were 16?
I had all the girls in the place.
Oh.
So.
And there were, well, how, what do you mean they thought you were a man? I mean, how?
Well, as far as my dress, my hair, haircut, so forth and so on. And you figure a dormitory, as long as this house, beds on all sides and coming up the center, I had a good time.
A veritable smorgasbord. That's great.
I snuck out a few names, which weren't supposed to, because we had, couldn't even use your own name there. We had different names they gave me. But I snuck out a few addresses and seen people afterwards. But that's really when I did everything right down to the works.
Did you come, you came into the Good Shepherd looking the way you did, so boyish, sort of. Had you lived at home looking that way too?
No. When I went on my own at 16, that's when I changed with the haircut, so forth and so on. That's when I got a problem. And that's when I went into the Good Shepherd.
I see.
But before, we used to have our hair, you know, cut straight and the bangs and all this in school.
Mm-hmm.
But I chopped it off when I left.
What made you decide to do that?
I didn't like, I don't know, I just didn't like the haircut to start with, so I figured I'd do my own. But then it suited the purpose.
Do you remember consciously thinking that you wanted to look more like a boy?
Yeah, I mean, it's at that time, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It had its advantages, because then nobody really bothered you. I mean, as far as the men or whatever was concerned.
Sure.
They didn't know whether you were or you weren't, so they left you alone.
Well, that was pretty smart.
Being 16, at that time, it was a little harder to get around than it is now.
So it was simply a method of surviving on the streets to look more like a boy.
Right.
And then it was convenient.
It served its purpose.
Uh-huh. And did you continue then to look like that through?
No, I mean, I cut my hair then and it's always been short. The hairstyling has never been really severe. Never been a severe haircut.
Uh-huh.
It's been short. I even had it in front here and a couple of jobs, you know, the little pin curls that would just make like a wave, you know, to offset it.
Uh-huh.
And it's never been anything since.
Yeah.
Been the same length, and that's it.
Had you had any kind of, like, physical experiences with girls before you got to the Good Shepherd home?
Well, as far as kissing, put my arm around them and that, but the actual intimacy, not till I got in there.
Uh-huh. When you got there, and when that kind of thing happened to you, how did you know what to do?
It just came natural.
Nobody told you.
I woke up, some girl was leaning over me, and that was it. Because she thought I was a boy. So I mean.
She thought you were a boy, but it was a home for girls.
I know, but I mean, they figured, I don't know, I don't know how the girls thought then. But they figured that was the closest looking thing to a man in the place.
So she really made the first move.
Right.
Did she say anything to you?
No, she just leaned over and gave me a big smooch. And that was it. Go over from there.
Uh-huh. Did she say anything to you afterwards about what had happened?
No, because we used to sneak in the hall, and as I say, those got around. There was quite a number.
And nobody ever said, you're doing it right, you're not doing it right, you should
be
doing this.
They
should
be doing giants.
Was there...
Everyone has their own way of doing things.
Oh, sure.
As that goes.
Sure. When was the first...
As far as the satisfaction is there, I'm going to knock it.
When was the first time you ever talked to anybody about that?
What do you mean about being homosexual?
Well, yeah, or about making love to women. Did you ever check your notes with anybody?
No, I mean, this woman that helped me, before I went to the doctor, she knew, well, she, you know, handled my sister. And, she just thought she could help me, you know, find out whether I was, normally that way, or I should be normally the other way. So she helped me, and I found out.
After you found out, you were like 21, 22 years old. Were you living in Buffalo then?
I was living in Buffalo up until 49, from 47 to 49. Then I went back to Rochester, and I worked in a shoe factory for 4 years, bought myself a motorcycle, almost got killed, got the insurance money, and came back up to Buffalo.
So you were back in Buffalo then by 1953,
right,
or 53, okay. What did you do when you got here? Why did you come?
Well, I just, well, very seriously, I myself, being gay and all this, I have a very high standards of morals. I guess how people look at it, but I do. I have my sister, their children. I have great nieces right now. And I myself, and I came right out and told my sister last year, first time she ever heard it, and that was it. I told her this is the reason I really left. I would never have a throne to my family, or to my nieces, great nieces, or whatever. That, well, you got a queer for an aunt.
Yeah.
Now, this is hard for any kid to swallow. I don't care whose kid it is. And I just went on and I told her, I said, this is one of the reasons, because she always figured why I was never around, because I used to come up on holidays or whatever. And I even used to bring to the women that I lived with. And there was never any conversation, you know, honey and all this garbage over the table. She would sit there, I would sit there, my nieces and that would come around, especially at Christmas time, because I'd always give them two Christmases. And my sister always accepted my friends, and I've never thrown it up in their faces. So this is why I really lived away from Rochester.
So you wouldn't have to do any kind of explaining? Or
no, it wouldn't be that they had to do any explaining. To me, it would make no difference one way or the other. But it's, kids can be very catty,
yeah,
and so can grown-ups. And they put a little finger on you, and your whole family stinks, in other words. So I figured, well, they live their lives, I live my life. We still are together as far as sisters are concerned. But it's one of the reasons I left.
Is this your younger sister or older?
Well, both of them have children. And they both have their children, have children, which I got three great nieces. And I would never embarrass them in any way.
So you've been in Buffalo essentially since 53?
Since 53. I worked at the Buffalo General for a while, became a dietitian assistant, And I left there and I got married to a girl. We had a regular ceremony.
Oh.
And from there, that didn't last too long either. Guess she'd pretend she was working, she'd come home sneaking. And going back to bed. So, then I worked out at Barnum Brothers on Broadway and Fillmore for a couple of years. And was laid off for 11 months, and I got tired of that. So the girl that I was hanging around with, her mother was a patient out at Mercy Hospital. And, well, anyway. And I didn't even know the hospital existed.
Yeah.
So I just, for the heck of it, put my application in, because I have had experience, and even in Rochester, I worked in hospitals. So within 3 days, I got a phone call, and I worked there 2 weeks, going to tell them all to go to hell, and 20 years later, they retired me.
That's great. Tell me about the marriage. How did you decide to have a marriage?
I don't know. It's I guess it was more or less, I liked the girl and everything, no, don't get me wrong. I used to hear about this all the time, and I just more or less wanted to have the experience of such, we'll put it that way. We had a minister. In fact, we had it done right in our, we had a sleeping room, and it was a good size one at that time. And I had a bridesmaid, best man, and one guy, you know, played the minister. And,
It wasn't a regular ordained minister.
Oh, no, no, no. This was just, to me, it was like more of a farce than anything else, but she wanted to go through with this, see, and I said, what have I got to lose?
Mm-hmm.
I said, there's no paper signed. If I want to gouge, you're out. So, we got back, and Christ, I had a big cake and throwing rice and all the rest of it.
That's great.
So that's the only first and only time I've ever done it.
Uh-huh. How did you meet her?
Well, let's see, this is when all the bars are going. The Mardi Gras, Chesterfield, Midtown, the Stage Door, Dugan's. Then you could get drunk in one, get kicked out, and go to the other one. So you had no problems of, and Bingo's was going then. And before that, little Ralph Martin's, that was my debut at the bars.
Oh, Ralph Martin's was your first bar in Buffalo?
First bar in Buffalo.
What year?
45.
Could you talk
fabulous.
About that? Okay. Yeah. How did you get to go there the first time?
Well, through a few people in Rochester. I heard the name, you know.
Yeah.
And then when I really got down and out, and I said, the heck with Rochester, just travel, you know. So I used to do a lot of hitchhiking here and there. So I ended up in right on the corner where Ralph Martin's was. It used to be when the Deccos were going in full blast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when I went in there one night, and I was tired, and I was sleeping in the booth. And I had gone in the place a couple times during the day, just to, you know, feel it out. And then this one night, I was asleep in the booth, and Dodo, he's a black boy, but he worked there nights as a porter, and strictly gay. And he asked me if I would like a bed to sleep in, and I've never forgotten him since. So he took me up to his place, and he lived almost right above Ralph Martin's.
Oh.
And I had that bed, and I was out like a light. So he says, don't worry about nothing, nobody will bother you, because he's down, you know, porting, you know, cleaning and everything. So then I started getting to know a few people, and then I started getting a few jobs, you know, oddball jobs, dishwasher and that kind of stuff when you could find it then. And, that was a fabulous bar. There'll never be another one like it.
Did you go in alone the first time?
The first time, yes. But I went out quite a few times.
Yeah. Were you scared?
No, not really. No, because I figured, hey, you know, just like, no, I can walk in any bar. I mean, you're going to be bothered, you'll be bothered. And if you don't want to be, they're not going to bother you, really.
What did
I can walk into a street bar, and if I want to sit there and have a drink, if a guy, I'll come over and talk to you, fine. But that's no sign you have to carry the conversation on. You can always say, excuse yourself. Go in the ladies' room, and from there you can, you know, walk out the door or whatever. I figure as long as I got a car, I can go any place I feel like it.
Can you describe Ralph Martin, what it looked like?
Oh, let's see now. It had a nice big back room. Had a nice front bar, and in the front, one entrance was on, you know, I can't even remember the streets very truthfully. One entrance is on this side, and one entrance was on this side. When you walked in here, there was a big room here. There's the bar. You walk from here over into here. That's all big back room. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Was it all women?
No, no. Both. Everyone got along beautiful. Uh-huh. And the best time I can remember, and Dodo and I still talk about it, they had a drag show in there one night for his birthday when they raided the joint. In fact, the cops were all on the outside, you know, the detectives or whatever you want to call them. They let the show go all the way right up to the end, you know, with the girls and everything and their drag and everything. And then they waltzed in, so everyone started diving under the tables. There was only one that got out of it, and that was Curly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Curly.
Yeah. We dove under our table. So we all, you know, pulled a thing down, you know, got our legs close together and got them under there, didn't see them. Uh-huh. But the rest of them, they all took out.
They only took out the drag queens?
Yeah.
Oh, they didn't bother? Did they bother anybody else at the bar?
Just the drag queen, the ones that were putting on the show.
Oh.
Yeah.
So. Why did they arrest them?
Well, vice or something at that time. You weren't supposed to have drag shows and all this without license or permission or some dumb thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So they all got hauled in.
Yeah.
But it was a beautiful night, though. They used to make their own costumes, and they were gorgeous.
How did you meet people at a place like that?
Well, how would you put it now? Let's see. Well, I'll say if I walked in which I would know it would be strictly gay, I'd, go up and I'd order myself a beer. And it's, in which to me, I don't know about anybody else, but to me, I could just look at someone, because I can read a person through their eyes. Whether you would want a conversation or whatever, or if I would say, well, would you care for a drink? It'd be the same if a guy was asking a girl if she wanted a drink. Mm-hmm. Now, if she didn't accept, well, then you'd know and sort of back off. I would never press nothing.
Yeah.
And she would have to be the first to make any move of any description of wanting to go out to dinner, through conversation or whatever, then I would pick up from there.
Uh-huh.
But I would never, now say you yourself, if I didn't know you at all, I went in and you looked nice, so forth and so on. I would just, you know, say, would you, if the bar wasn't too crowded or whatever, I'd say, would you care to have a drink? And then, if there was a conversation that was brought up, and then you really can tell through a conversation of any kind whether someone is or they're not, or if they want to, or whether they don't, then this is the way it goes.
Mm-hmm. Were you able to make friends through going to Ralph Martin's?
Oh, yeah, I made half a million friends there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Do you still see any of those same people that you were friends with?
Oh boy, there's quite a few that's been, God bless me, have passed away. People that have, gotten their own homes and don't hang out in the bars anymore, but, you know, every so often if you see him downtown. See, that's another thing. If I knew you were gay, and say I was in the executive, in which I have been, I would say hello to you. See, now, some people would ignore you if they knew you were gay. They wouldn't want the person that you were with. Now, say if I was with people from work, which they wouldn't know that I was.
Yeah.
But I know you're gay. I would not ignore the fact that you were sitting there.
Uh-huh.
I would say, hi, how are you?
Yeah.
And I would introduce. And that would be it.
Uh-huh. But there were people that didn't do that.
Oh, well, there was quite a few that, in which, right to this day, still do. They will, when they are, say, with family, or, as I say, working people, they won't acknowledge the fact that you're sitting there.
Yeah.
Even if you were in a straight bar.
Were the people that you talk about like that, were they like a different crowd or a different...
Well, there was always cliques. I mean, as far as that goes, you had your snooties and duties. And people that were down to earth, and it's mixed. I mean, it's if they want to talk to you, they talk to you. If they want to, they wait. You know, there's always somebody else to talk to. I always look at it.
If I walked into a bar like, let's say, Ralph Martin's, and you were the tour guide, what kind of different groups would you be able to point out, and how would I be able to tell the difference between them?
Oh, you mean as far as,
like, did
who
they
was, which, who's,
Well, no, like who were the snooties and duties, and...
Oh,
no,
well, I hate you just have to look at them, you can feel that out yourself.
Did they dress different, or...?
No, everyone, the same. I mean, they would have pants on, you know, slacks or whatever. But it was just, they would get like a huddle, like, you know, you sit at one end of the bar, and that's all the group that would talk, see. And then there'd be another group maybe over here or whatever. So me, I just used to walk up and say, hey, hi, how are you tonight? Say, if you want to talk, fine. If you don't, well, then I go to another group, see. We find out, see this, I could find out who's, who ain't.
Did you form like a pretty close group of friends at that time to hang around?
No, not really. In fact, to this day, I think really, because it was very few. I mean, I can say in my own. I'm not talking about anyone else, because this I don't know nothing about.
Yeah.
Very few that you can really trust. As far as your personal effects, there used to be more crooks than thieves. Which Pat and I, when I first met her, now that was a good 20 years ago, and she used to get mad at us, I mean the older group, because every time they used to walk in, well, her being a lot younger than myself, We used to call them the Panty Brigade. They were still wet behind the ears. They were just coming out, and you know, they walk in like their big butches. Yeah, here comes the Panty Brigade, you know. And she still brings that up. You ask her sometime about that, Panty Brigade.
Uh-huh.
She used to hate us for that. But since I retired and started coming around out in Wonder Bar, we have become the closest of friends.
Uh-huh.
No one would hurt her, and no one would hurt me.
Who you say the older women like yourself would hang around. Who were they?
Well, I'll tell you, as far as names are concerned, I never remember names anyhow. I couldn't even remember them at work. Faces I never forget. It'd be mainly the ones I used to go with. Because once I used to go with somebody, I would be with that person, and nobody else. We'd have conversations, but as far as my going out and messing around, I never did.
Yeah.